Let us pray. Holy God, you are the shepherd of our journey and the light on our way. With so many paths for us to choose, knowing the way you would have us go is difficult. So often we go our own way and miss the work you are doing around us, work you are calling us to be partners in. Reach into our lives as you did with Abram. Set us on a way that leads to you and to your embrace. This we ask in the name of Christ, our ultimate shepherd, our way and our light. Amen. So, last week, Pastor Sarah reminded us that there are lots of times in our lives where we don't always get what we want. And it's not just that we don't get what we want, but we get angry with and yell at God when things don't go our way. That point was punctuated by the reading about Jesus and his disciples on a boat in the midst of a great storm. Here, the disciples were not just afraid of the storm, but frustrated with their sleeping friend and teacher, who was seeming unmoved by their imminent peril. We learned from Pastor Sarah that God is at work in our lives in ways and movements that we sometimes cannot see. That we are a part of a great wide world filled with other boats, and it is together that we ultimately tell the story of creation. We are also reminded that even when we don't get what we want or expect, God is with us anyway, laughing, crying, and in the case of the disciples, sometimes sleeping. It's a tough message to hear that we are not the center of creation, with the web of God's work spinning around us. The thing to remember, though, is that we are an intricate part of that creative work, precious in God's sight, even if we aren't the center of it. And then we have today's reading. Not the same message as we found in what Pastor Sarah had to say, but it is one that runs parallel because it is about the part that we are called to play as partners in the work of creation. The focus of our story today is a man named Abram, better known to us by his later name, Abraham. Unlike the disciples from last week, we don't find Abram in peril. In fact, we don't know much about Abram's life before this reading, how it's been going. But there are a few clues. In the chapter preceding this, chapter 11, we get a genealogy that connects us to the scripture that was read to dramatic effect with an amazing Noah last week. And we heard in that reading of Noah's sons. Does anybody remember the names of Noah's sons? Even one? What was it? Ah, Shem! That's right. Shem was one of the sons of Noah, and chapter 11 of Genesis actually links Shem to Abram, Abram being a direct descendant of Shem. But it doesn't really say how well or poorly Abram's life is going. But we can probably guess that it's going pretty good for Abram. Because when God asks him to leave the life that he knows, Abram takes with him his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had gathered. So Abram was likely living well when God sent word that Abram should uproot his life and go where God was calling him to go. More or less, that's the story for today. God calls Abram. Abram obeys without question, heading off into the unknown. That's kind of where the story ends. But what about the story that follows? Does anybody know anything about Abram's life after he chooses to follow God? It's not a great life. He goes to the land where God has called him to, the land that God was giving to him and his ancestors. And there was a famine. A famine forced him out of that land and into Egypt, a place where he had to pretend to be his wife's brother so people wouldn't kill him. He's separated from his nephew Lot. Lot, who becomes a captive, only to be reconnected with his uncle years later in the downfall of Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, Abram started this journey at 75 years old with no sons. It wasn't until later that he fathered a son named Ishmael with an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. And it isn't until much later, when he's 99, that he fathers a son with his wife Sarai, also 99, a son that they would name Isaac. Now you might think at this point that Abram's luck is turning around, that things are looking pretty good, but no. After a time, God asks that Abraham at this point, show his faith to God by sacrificing Isaac on a stone with a knife. Not you, you're fine. Sure, in the midst of that story, we know that God breaks in the last moment and provides a ram for sacrifice. But Abraham didn't know that. And yet he still followed God, still answered God's call. So after hearing about the life of Abram, who will be Abraham, do you think that those 24 years between being called out of the land of his father all the way up to the binding of Isaac, do you think that those years were filled with comfort and ease? Do you? No. I would not say that they were filled with comfort and ease. In fact, the 75 years prior to the call sounded way more comfortable, way less tumultuous, because the Bible doesn't actually say anything about them. If there was anything exciting that happened, it would have been written down. That was a quiet life that Abram was leading. And yeah, in today's reading, and even in the weeks that are going to follow, we don't hear anything more about Abram's life and the hardships that he's going to face. What we do have today is the story of a man who, because of his great faith in God, leaves everything that he knows and travels into the unknown. But I think it's important that we know not just where the road leads, but also the trials through which God's call takes Abram. Because it's not an easy road. I also share the bulk of Abram's story because he went from a life of relative comfort to one of upheaval, and we are a people that strive for comfort. And for the most part, in our affluent society, comfort is pretty easy to come by and maintain. We can have our coffee just so. We can eat the food that we like, with the luxury of setting aside or even discarding the food that we don't like or can't eat because we have so much. And when we are confronted by things that make us uncomfortable, the real world traumas that are all around us, both locally and globally, we can turn a blind eye or a deaf ear. We can turn the page of the newspaper, move from a hard news website to find out what the lives of celebrities are like. We can move from the radio station to our CD or Bluetooth so that we can hear our favorite song rather than something real. And of course, we can change the channel to avoid hearing and seeing real-life tragedy in favor of reality TV or a fiction so far removed from our time and space that we can escape for 60 minutes with commercials. But for the most part, we'll fast forward through those because those make us uncomfortable too. Now, don't feel like I'm wagging the finger of reproach at anybody because there's three more that point right back at me. I, for example, know that Survivor Season 37 starts in a week, and gosh, I hope that Big Brother's over before then. What I am saying is that it is really easy to escape what is really happening around us. It's easy for us to avoid the discomfort of the world by filtering it through our preferences and pre-recordings, skipping over what makes us suffer even just a little bit. But what we miss when we do that is the call of God, the call to encounter the holy on a road that we might not choose, but are invited to walk. In Abram's story, the whole story, we see a pretty rocky road between God's initial call and him becoming Abraham, the man to whom great faiths trace their roots. And just like we don't always get what we ask for when we cry out to God, sometimes following God means being uncomfortable. Sometimes it means going to places that we would not go given the choice. And sometimes it means meeting the eyes of our neighbor, reading about the hardship of brothers and sisters that we don't know, not changing the channel, opening our heart to a world that is hurting, knowing that we might get hurt. But all of this, Abram's tale of hardship, is not meant to be a warning to avoid God's call, just because it might be hard. Rather, it is a reminder that the way is worth walking. Because it's never all strife and struggle. When we enter into those places that we have never been, places we would not choose to go, places that we only come to by the call and grace of God, there can be wonder in what God is revealing to us. And yes, there is sorrow in sharing our neighbor's pain, but there is joy in the knowledge that we are not alone. Like Abram, God is calling us into places where we can't just sit on our hands in comfort, where we can't just watch the world unfold around us. God calls us to those places where we need to be, to use our gifts that we've been given, to be a part of the story of creation. In short, God is calling us to be participants in our faith and not just observers of it. We see this call laid out explicitly in the gospel excerpt that we see on the first page of our bulletin. There we see that Christ is calling on his disciples, that's us, to share the story that they've heard, to deepen their faith, our faith, in the sharing, to spread the good news of God's great love, to be the living, moving hands and feet of Christ in the world. So I invite you to listen closely. Listen closely as you go about your week, as you go about your lives. Listen to where God might be calling you. Maybe God is calling you to pray with brothers and sisters in other denominations over politicians and parties for the future of our province. Maybe God is calling to you to invite a friend to join you in prayer and worship and fellowship in this place. Maybe there's been a pull or a push from deep inside to share your gifts and talents in this place for the deepening of faith and fellowship. Or maybe it could be as simple as opening our holy book to see what God is saying to the people so far removed from us by time, only to find that God is speaking directly to you. If you're not sure, and if the way ahead looks uncomfortable and not the same way that you're used to walking, you're probably on the right track. But remember this. Just as Christ was with those disciples on the boat when things got scary, just as God was with Abram through the ups and the downs of his journey, so too will the Holy Spirit be our guide and companion as we venture into the unknown. Let us walk that road together. Amen.